Let's take our Bible and go to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to read some very familiar scripture about three men. Most of y'all ought to know who this is. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've probably preached on these men countless number of times over the years. And one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament that we find how that God moved. Amen. These men did not compromise what they believed, and God showed up. But now they had to go through the fire because they would not compromise. They did not know whether God was going to deliver them out of the fire. They only knew that God would deliver them out of the hand of the king. And so a lot of times we're looking for God to deliver us out of the fire before we ever get there. But they had to go through the fire, but thanks be unto God, the Bible tells us that He was in the midst of the fire with them. Or to say amen there, church. Hey, listen, no matter what we go through, if you're saved, God will be there. Thank God for that. It is a joy to be here tonight. Daniel chapter 3, I'll ask you to stand tonight while we begin to read in verse 8. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 8, and the Bible says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worship it, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Now let me park right here and say every bit of that was true. "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well." In other words, if you do it, everything's good. "But if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto the king, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire?" And they answered, and said unto the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose." Boy, ain't that a blessing? "Walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Thank God for that. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth. Boy, that's a wonderful thought, ain't it? Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God." Now, listen, just a few minutes ago, he said, "Who is that God that should deliver you out of my hands?" And in just a few short minutes, here the king is going, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. The princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their heads singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. Help us while we might preach. Guard our mind and our thoughts. Keep Satan far, far away from this meeting tonight. Far away from us. Lord, don't let him hinder this meeting. Don't let him hinder me tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd just help us while we might preach. Somebody said, Lord, save them. Has a need tonight. I pray that need might be met. And Lord, we're looking to you for strength and power tonight. Let the Holy Ghost move upon folks' hearts. Let it move upon me tonight. Let this message be real. Real in folks' hearts. And Lord, we'll give you the glory for it all. Save that sinner's new style. For this in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen. As we find in this passage of Scripture, the first seven verses that we did not read, the king has made a god out there, I guess you would let me say that. He set up that an image out in the plain of Dura, out in the desert, and that of Babylon. And he brings everybody that was anybody in his kingdom and that to come out there to this dedication service, and that to this God. And then they tell him, when you hear all this music, you need to bow down and worship this God. And so that's where we find ourselves when we come to verse 8. We find that these three men did not do that. We find that these three men did not bow down. They were not going to bow down. And it didn't matter what the king said or what the king done. They were not going to do that. Now, as I looked at these men, I began to consider them and think about this, that these men were real. And what I mean by real, we know they're real in history. They're real in Scripture. But they were real in who they were going to serve tonight. Listen, that's what I want to preach on, is what it means to be real. Webster's 1828 tells us that real means actually being or existing. Actually being, not two different words. Well, yeah, two different words, but not with a comma. But actually being or existing. Not fictitious or imaginary. It means to be true or genuine, not artificial or counterfeit. Now, talking about real estate, if we use that word real in estate, that means something that is fixed or permanent and not movable, such as your house in compared to your personal property. And most of the time that wouldn't fit, but when I read that definition, I thought, well, don't that work fixed or permanent and not movable? A real Christian. Now, what is a real Christian tonight? What's that mean? I've talked to people tonight, and they'll say, well, boy, they're real. They're real. Now, I've used that. I've talked about men and women that love God and used that terminology myself and said they're real. But what's that mean? In the 1970s, Coca-Cola had a slogan that it's the real thing. Some of y'all remember that. It's the real thing. I kind of remember that slogan just a little bit. Let me say by way of introduction tonight that I'm glad that I've got a real salvation. I'm glad I've got something that is actual and being something that is true and genuine and that is fixed and permanent. Amen tonight. That will not move. My salvation is real tonight because I have a real Savior. He was not a figment of imaginations. He was not a fairy tale. But he is a fixture tonight in Christianity because he is real. They sung about him tonight. Listen, he went to Calvary and died for our sin. God was pleased with that. And he'll save anybody that'll come. Amen. He's real tonight. Listen, how do you know he's real? One, the Bible tells me he's real. But I've met him and I know he's real tonight. He's my friend. Ain't you glad he's real tonight? I'm glad he's real. If you don't know him tonight, I would encourage you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior tonight. How real is He to you? He said, I'm glad I've got a real Bible tonight. The real Word of God. I do believe, and I believe this, I know this church believes, and this is what we teach around here, but I believe that the King James Bible is the Bible for English-speaking people tonight. I believe that with all my heart. And I believe I've got a book in front of me that just does not contain the Word of God, but He is the Word of God tonight. I believe every jot and tittle that's in here, He wrote down, He penned down, He made it for us. Listen, Psalm said, the words of the Lord are pure words. That silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Listen, this book is a 7th English-speaking Bible. I believe God brought it to us where we could have it. And know what God wants us to know tonight. He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. If God made a promise to preserve His Word, and this ain't it, where is it? Well, it is in the Greek and the Hebrew. I can't read Greek and Hebrew. What is the main language around the world today? What is it? Well, it's English, is it not? Why do you think God had this thing put in English? Where men and women, boys and girls could read their Bible and learn about God. Ain't that something tonight? 1 Peter said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. You know how you're born again? By this book right here. It's in front of us. Which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. A lot of counterfeits out there, but this thing's real tonight. How do you know it's real? One, the Bible tells me it's real. It speaks of itself, but just as I come to meet the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him, I've tried this book and I've found it to be so. If you've never tried the Bible, you ought to try it tonight. You'll find that it is right and it'll work every time when you use it. Can I say tonight that if you can only be real when God's real to you? You can't be a real Christian when God ain't real to you. We've got counterfeits and that of their salvation. Some folks have made a profession. I ain't here to talk you out of your salvation tonight, but you need to know whether or not you're saved. You need to have that nailed down. You need to be assured of your salvation tonight. Listen tonight, if God is not real to you, then you'll never be real. Is your salvation real? Isaiah 4 said, and in that day 7 women shall take hold of 1 man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, and let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. And that's what some people do today. They'll come, they'll join the church, they'll make a profession, but they never trust Christ to be their Savior. Never ask Him to save them. Never believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. They profess, Titus 1 said, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. So I'd encourage you to get saved. Can I tell you tonight, if you're saved and God is not real to you, chances of you being a real Christian is going to be slim to none. Chances of you being real tonight in Christianity is not going to come to pass. I want to look at a few things about being real tonight. I want to look at these men, if I could, and draw a spiritual application to Christianity tonight and their realness. First of all, can I say number one in being real? Let me say that being real a lot of times shows up when the heat gets on. What you're made out of and who you're made out of comes out when the heat gets on. When everything's going good, it's easy to shout it out. It's easy to raise your hand. And listen, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but it'll be all right. There's a lot of these fellers want you to live in the clouds all the time. What's going to happen when the bottom falls out of everything and all you're doing is living in the clouds? You're going to hit pretty hard. I believe in shouting it out when it's good to shout it out. But I'm going to be honest with you. I don't expect every time we come to church I to shout it out. But boy, I do every now and again want to do that. Amen. Sometimes you come in here and it's dried up and dead and twice plucked up like the book of Revelation talks about, and you just want to go home and start all over again. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I sat down and thought about this as I read this passage of Scripture and thought about this message. Some of the best meetings we ever had in here, it was awful quiet. And God just worked on folks' hearts and worked in folks' hearts and done something for you and done something for me. But number one tonight, what does it mean to be real? I believe that first of all, these men strived to do right. Go back to chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. I believe that they strive to do right. You can call it living holy. You can call it avoiding sin. Whatever you want to call it tonight, they strive for that. Look in Daniel chapter 1, look in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince and the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Well, just read on with me. Now God had brought Daniel in favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces? We're plural now. Worse liking than the children which are of your sort. Then shall you make me in danger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by the way. Go back and look at the first part of the chapter. He said, prove thy servants. It's plural, ain't it? Thy servants. I beseech thee 10 days and let them give us pulse to eat, water to drink. And then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. That's all plural, ain't it? Servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared higher and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. And as for these who? 4 children. God gave them knowledge, skill, and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Not only did Daniel chapter 1 deal with Daniel not wanting to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine, but it dealt with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men started out, these young men started out in their striving to do right in captivity. Do you realize that they weren't in Israel? They weren't in Jerusalem around the house of God. They're down in a land that has nothing, that is nothing like their home place. And they're trying to do right. I'd call that being real, wouldn't you, tonight? I'd call that being true and genuine. I mean, when nobody else cared whether they done right, when nobody else was there to look at them, when nobody else knew what was going on except God Himself, they said, look, we just want to do right by God. Want to live holy. I like holy living. I'll never forget, I was talking to one of the first times I ever talked to Brother Ralph. We were talking on the telephone and I was telling him about somebody else and I said, man, he really believes in holy living. And I was telling him a little about that. And brother, you gotta know Brother Ralph, he's got a great sense of humor. And he stopped me in the middle of that conversation. He said, brother, he said, I believe in holy living too. I think I offended him there for a minute. You know, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16, he said, be ye holy for I am holy. Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, flee fornication. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, he said, but thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. What was he talking about? Fleeing from there. In 1 Timothy 6, it was talking about greediness and that of wanting money. But he said, flee these things, but follow righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. He said, live a holy life. Flee from them. I believe these boys wanted to run away from sin at every chance they had. 2 Timothy chapter 2 said, flee youthful lust. What did Joseph do when Potiphar's wife caught him in the house in there and caught him by his jacket and said, lie with me. Caught him by the coat. What did he do? He ran out of his coat and ran away from it. He wanted to live right, didn't he? You know what Joseph said? He said, how can I do this wicked thing? He's with me tonight? All right, okay. They strive to do right. How many of us strive to do right tonight? I hope you do. I really do. But notice right here that they were in a place that was not home. They were in a place where they were around people they did not know. And they were around other people that were like them. There was other Jews there. Them other Jews weren't asking to eat pulse and water. You may get on the job and people may tell you they're Christians, but they may not live like you. I'm assuming you're living right. Okay? I'm making that assumption tonight. Reckon they were tempted to eat the king's meat and drink his wine. The Bible said right here about Daniel, but he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor drink the wine which he drank, or nor with the wine which he drank. Reckon that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tempted when they were out there in the plain of Dura, and it was just them three that was not going to bow down. I mean, nobody else was brought up on charges. I kind of wondered if they were not tempted to just go along. Well, now I think I know the answer to that. I would dare say they were not going to give in to that temptation. Are you saying I got to live a perfect life to be real? No, I understand we're going to mess up from time to time. I think God understands. I don't think He wants you to mess up. There's a lot of people who, you see how I can say this, they plan on messing up. They plan on messing up. I don't plan on messing up, I plan on doing right. Amen. I get up in the morning, I want to live right, I want to do right, I want to think right, I want to be right. Am I always going to hit it every time on the nose? Maybe not, but I'm going to strive to do it. It's when we quit striving that we quit being real. 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I've heard people say, well, this fellow right here speaks what's on his mind. I like people that just say what's on their mind. I'll be honest with you. I do. Sometimes I don't like what they have to say, but at least they spoke their mind. And I don't have to worry about where they stand at. Well, I'm being honest tonight. I like to know where people stand at. That way I don't have to wonder, I don't have to worry, any of those things. At least I know now. I may not like the answer. I may not like the way that I got the answer, but at least I know the answer now. People say, well, you know, he's a little rough talking. He uses, he might use some words that we might not use, but he's real. No, not to me, he ain't. Hello? He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, abstain from all appearance of evil. Stay away from it all. If it sounds wrong, I probably wouldn't say it. Now, have I let my mouth overload my brain? Probably, at times. My mouth was in drive and my brain was in neutral. I'm telling you, and boy, my mouth was just running like this and my mind wasn't thinking at all. And before I knowed it, some things come out that should not have come out. I'm talking about these men strive to do right. They strive to do right in the midst of adversity. They strive to do right when the heat was turned on. They strive to do right when nobody else was going to do right. That's what I call real tonight. Number two, the real Christian's dependence will be on the Lord. Our faith and trust will be in Him. Look in verse 16 of the text scripture. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. I don't think they had talked about it a whole lot. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Who did they depend on? Here they stand before the king, who is the final authority in Babylon. He has conquered everybody around. And here stands these three men who are Jews. And stand there and look at the king, eyeball to eyeball, and said, we're not going to serve your God. Why? If it be so, our God whom we serve is able. Do you know the God we serve tonight is able? He's able. Whatever you need, He's able. Whatever you can't do and needs to be done, He's able tonight. I was listening to the preacher. No, it wasn't a preacher today. Federal was telling me this. When Israel came to Jordan, Joshua and Israel, going into the promised land, God wanted them in the promised land. Brought them to Jordan, and God said, all right, you need to do this, and if you'll do this, if you'll send those priests down there with the Ark of the Covenant, and when they get in that ankle-deep water, God said, I'll part Jordan. Now, as far as they could go was in ankle-deep water in Jordan. God had to do the rest. If God wants you to go over Jordan, and I'll use Jordan for whatever you want to plug in right there. If God wants you to do that, then when you come there and the water ain't parted yet, then you just need to tell God, if this is what you want, you're going to have to do it. They couldn't part Jordan. They couldn't make it come apart and all them Israelites cross over on dry ground. Couldn't happen. Their dependence had to be on God. Just like these men right there, their dependence was on God. Can I ask you tonight, reckon these men had already made their mind up about the worship time of the image out there in the plain of Dura? Reckon they were talking on the way there. I mean, they weren't no different than we are. I bet these three boys was together and they were talking on the way, reckon what we're going out there for, and they might have already knew. They might not have had Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, or any other type of social media, but I'm sure it got out of what was happening. And it may not have been. They may not have known why they were there, other than they were just gathered out in the desert, out in the plain of Dura out there from Babylon. And when they got there, they might have told them, this is what's going to happen. But at what point do you reckon these boys made their mind up? They said, we're not careful. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. Sometimes we are careful. In other words, sometimes we worry and have fear slip into our life. Now, I'm talking about depending on the Lord. David said in Psalms chapter 56, he said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. His dependence was on the Lord. David didn't say, I wouldn't be afraid. You know, many times through the book of Psalms, if I'm not mistaken, and I may be, and you correct me if I am, but I believe this is, if not the only time, this is one of the very few times where David says, I'll be afraid. Most of the time, David says, I won't be afraid. I'll not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I'll trust in thee. But right here, he says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. He said, I'll put my dependence in thee. The real Christian may have fear come into their life, but their dependence will be on the Lord. Paul put it like this. He said in 2 Corinthians 7, he said, "For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God." See who he was trusting. "Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus." That's why 1 Peter 5 and 7 said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Your worry and your concern needs to be cast on him. We should not let fear, worry, or doubt rule our lives to keep us from God. Those things will keep us from God. The real Christian's dependence will be on the Lord. The real Christian's dependence will be on the Lord when we can't do it ourselves. I come back again to Jordan. They could not make Jordan part, but all they could do is depend on God. The real Christian will depend. We'll have faith and trust the Lord, even in the midst of adversity. Well, I'm telling you, I'm a little worried about tomorrow. You mean, what do you mean? I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You start preaching stuff like this, you don't know what's coming. You start listening to stuff like this, I don't know what's coming in your life. I'm like Brother Jeff, stuff starts happening, I start getting nervous, brother, I'm telling you. We cannot, must not, let fear and worry rule us. We must maintain faith in the Lord. That's hard to do sometimes, ain't it? See, sitting here with everything going good, bank account's good, children are healthy, you're healthy, everything's going great. It's easy to say, yeah, boy, it's good to have faith, ain't it? It's easy to have faith. But when the world around you is falling apart, it's a little tough sometimes to have faith that God will come through. These fellers just don't seem like they struggled with that, though. I'd like to get there, wouldn't you? But you know, to get there where they're at, we may have to go through the furnace. How many of us has ever seen God work? These boys have seen God work. They've seen God work in Daniel chapter 1. God moved and let them appear fatter in flesh, and they probably were. And everything looked better just by simply eating pus and drinking water. That's vegetables and water versus meat and wine. God moved in that, didn't he? But the real Christian will depend on the Lord. Number three, real Christians will be different than the world. Can I tell you that when the rest of everybody else up there on the plain of Dura was on their face to the ground, here stood Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stuck out like a sore thumb, didn't they? Everybody else is on the ground. These three boys right here, they're still standing, ain't they? Can I tell you tonight, I really believe the real Christian will stick out. I believe, man, we'll stick out. I mean, we can't hide. We won't blend in. I mean, they could have been over just a little bit to pick up a rock off the ground or tie their shoe. But I believe them boys stood tall that day. They stuck out. Can I ask you tonight, do we stick out? We may stick out for all the wrong reasons sometimes, but do we stick out for the Lord tonight? Are we different? The real Christian will be different than the world. You can't blend in and be real at the same time. You can't do what somebody else is doing in the world and be real at the same time. Just won't happen. Can't happen. I mean, that's why Romans said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." 2 Corinthians 6 said, "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." I don't like the world tonight. I don't like the way the world is. I don't like things of the world. We live in the world, but boy, we're to be different from the world. How are we to be different? I believe our speech is to be different. I think we're to talk different in the world. I was up at a friend of mine's this past week. He's wanting a little electrical work done. I hadn't seen him in probably 6 or 7 years. And he'd called me out of the blue and asked me if I'd come and look at it. I said, sure, I'll come and look at it. And he was talking about going to his wife's high school reunion. And he said, you know, I sat over there and among some of those people, and he said they had brought their little drinks in their pocket to put in their cup. And he said, I dealt with that. He said some other things. But he said, you know, when they started taking the Lord's name in vain, I had to say something. I thought, boy, that's good. How many of us would say something? We're sitting around a group of people and they start taking the Lord's name, the precious Lord's name, the one that died for you and shed His blood at Calvary. When they start taking His name in vain, you going to say anything? And he said, I told them, boys, said, now put up with this and this. And he said, but when you start taking the Lord's name in vain, I just can't deal with that. Just don't do it. He said, when my wife said his wife had went to the restroom and come back, he said, well, when she come back, there I sat by myself. And she said, what did you do? You're going to be real. You're going to stick out. Your speech is going to be. Did not Peter stick out over there gathered up around that fire? They said, your speech bewrayeth you. That means betrays you. His speech was different than theirs. Then the Bible said that when they said, your speech bewrayeth you, he said, I don't know him. And then he began to cuss. Or to be different. Or to be different in our speech. Or to be different in our actions. Or to be different. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. The word conversation there is not talking about speech or talking. It's talking about your deportment and how you carry yourself. He said, put off former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lies. You ought to be different in your speech. You ought to be different in your actions. You know how to act? Open this Bible up and begin to read it. It'll teach you how to act. You ought to be different in your dress. You ought to look different. Now, let me put them back on. You ought to be different in your dress. The world now is just stripping down and running around half naked, if not naked all the time. That should never be. It should never be. Hello? That should never be tagged on God's people. Or to just be different. I'm going to tell you, sometimes in being different, you just got to tell people, I'm not going to live that way. And I'm not going to do that. In our house, we don't do those things. We don't talk that way. Best thing you can do on the job when you get there is tell folks, if you ain't done it yet, you'll tell them you're a Christian, I live for the Lord. And then that's going to put a bullseye on the back of you. But people are going to know. Talking about the real Christian. Number 4, they glorified the Lord, didn't they? Verse 17 and verse 18, notice who got the glory out of this thing. Who did they glorify in this? He said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve. They were the servants. He was the God of Israel. Now listen, I understand that not every day is going to be a bright day. Not every day is going to be a good day. Not every day you're going to feel like just smiling at the world. You know, there's that old gospel song, old Southern gospel song, give the world a smile. The world needs a smile. I won't argue that point, but I'm going to tell you, they just some days you don't feel that way. Am I the only one that feels that way? Am I the only one that gets out on the wrong side of the bed some mornings? Tom and Alicia's back there just grinning and laughing at each other. Yeah. But no matter how we feel, our life ought to glorify the Lord. Does it point to Him? I know that you may not tell everybody that you know every day and every time. You know, one preacher said when you get on the elevator with three people, you ought to have them one to the Lord by the time you get to the fifth floor. That ain't so. One, that ain't enough time. If God ain't moving, that ain't going to happen. But you might want to put a track in their hand. I do believe in tracks. Because God can get that word in them even when you ain't around, when I ain't around. But I think that when God gives us opportunity, these boys had opportunity, didn't they? I mean, they're standing before the king. How many opportunities do you get to stand before the king? I mean, boy, the spotlight's on them, ain't it? Because they're different. And they said, look, we're not going to do this. God is going to deliver us. If He does not deliver us, then He will deliver us from you. Well, I bet that made the king mad. 1 Peter 3 said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. When's the last time you told anybody about the Lord? When's the last time you shared, told, spoke of, witnessed about the Lord? Bible said in the book of Proverbs, he that winneth souls is wise. Our job is not to make people believe. Our job is not to make people trust, but it is to tell. Does our life glorify the Lord? Number five, and last of all, the Lord did get the glory out of their life. How do you know that? If you go on over and you read the last part of the chapter, You remember what the king said? Servants of the Most High God. Boy, I'm telling you, he changed his tune real fast, didn't he? You come on down to verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, that have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Well, I wish they'd decree that today. I'll be honest with you. I wish they would. I'm telling you, those that be in power, by the way, which are given to them by we the people, not we the government. Some of y'all understand that. Said, we'll cut them to pieces and their houses shall be made a dunghill because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. You've got a heathen pagan king sitting on his throne that threw these men in a burning fiery furnace, and now he says the God that they serve, there's nobody else to be able to do what he done. I would call that getting glory out of their life, wouldn't you? You know, at the end of it, oh, God got the glory out of it. Why? They were real. They were real. Don't you want to be real tonight? I do. I want to be real. Folks, look at me. Listen, it's not that I won't have bad days. It's not that the fire might not get put on. And by the way, the fire probably will get put on. The more you want to serve the Lord, the more there's a great chance the fire is going to be put on. The more you make your determination to serve God and not serve the world, the fire is probably going to be put on. Folk won't understand. Folk won't know. Folk, I'm talking about church people and so-called Christians will not even understand. I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm not talking about being pharisaical. I'm talking about living for God. Don't you want to do that tonight? I do. I want to be real. Let's bow our heads tonight, if we would.